its work as a subcommittee. Happy New Year. Assemblymember Mountjoy, I'm jumping the gun. We're a subcommittee, so yes, we can call roll. We don't have a quorum yet.
Bowen?
Here.
Bowen. Batten? Dunn? Murray? Pachigian?
Here.
Romero?
Here.
All right. On your bill, Mr. Mountjoy, bill number 1129, AB 1129.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members. Happy New Year. Welcome back. Madam Chair, members, most judges in our state are not challenged for re-election. Because of a law passed in 2003, declarations of intent to run are no longer required, so the judges will not know until the last minute if they will be challenged or not. Existing law requires that they send in upwards of $50,000 and file a statement, even though they are not challenged, then wait for a refund. These amendments to AB 1129 will give the judges 5 days after the filing deadline to submit and pay for a candidate statement if it is necessary. The measure sunsets in December of 2006, and more comprehensive legislation will follow later. I know of no opposition to this technical bill. Mike Belote is representing the California Judges Association, and I ask for your aye vote.
Witnesses in support.
Madam Chair and members, Mike Belote for CJA, an unintended effect of an elections omnibus bill a couple years ago. The idea is to not have judges raise money they don't need to give to counties for candidate statements, just to ask for a refund later. Only about 1% of all judges in California ever challenged for re-election.
So should we add something to the bill to solve that problem?
If you want to raise that to 100%, yeah. So the idea is not have them hand in the money just to get it back a week later. And this seemed like the cleanest solution for this upcoming election.
For this election cycle,
yeah,
only, Madam Chair.
We need to deal with something that will handle this problem this year. We will look for a more elegant way to solve the problem.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other witnesses in support? Anyone in opposition? There's a motion on the due pass. We need to formally adopt your amendments.
Yes, this is a total gut and amend from a bill that was previously written.
Right.
This is not absolute gut and amend.
This meets our standards for gut and amend.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
It is a problem that we have to deal with in order to avoid total chaos and confusion and all sorts of other horrible consequences in 2006. So Senator Pachigian moves the technical amendments. Moves the bill as proposed to be amended, and we will call the roll as a subcommittee. We still do not have a quorum.
I believe there's urgency on this measure, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I don't know how many votes of the committee that it might require.
Oh, hold on. We just have a quorum, so let's do that first.
Batten? Dunn? Murray?
Here is the proper response.
I am here.
Okay. We now have a quorum.
I am a co-author of this bill, and I move it.
We have a motion on the bill as proposed to be amended. Please call the roll.
Bowen?
Here. Aye.
Bowen, aye. Batten?
Aye.
Batten, aye. Dunn? Murray? Pachigian?
Aye.
Pachigian, aye. Romero?
Aye.
Romero, aye.
Ayes 4, no 0. I will place the measure on call so that Senator Dunn will have an opportunity to
vote. I need one more, Madam Chair?
No, you don't. You're out. But I want to be able to give Senator Dunn the opportunity, since he is a co-author, to vote
Wonderful.
On the bill should he arrive. And Senator Romero, you are next.
Madam Chair, members, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mountjoy, for gracing us with your presence. Okay. Senator Romero, your bill also has urgency to it, I believe. Not in terms of an urgency clause, but something that needs to be done this year. So we need to first adopt the amendments to the bill.
Okay.
Without objection, we will adopt the amendments that did meet all the committee deadlines. They were here on time. They have been analyzed, and you may proceed presenting the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Members, you may look at this bill and think, how did this bill arise? This was something that actually occurred in my district. It's from a constituent who was running for a local office and who actually brought this to me. What this bill does is quite simply, it changes. It changes the public examination period from what we have right now 10 calendar days to 10 business days. Why is this necessary? As it turned out in the case of my constituent who was running for a local school board, the filing was done on a Friday, which meant it wasn't available. The information was not available for public examination until Monday. If you have those times when information is posted on a Friday, not made available to Saturday, Saturday is day one, you've got Sunday, day two, and the following weekend. We tell the public, we tell candidates, public examination is for 10 days, but in reality, in this case, it was down to six. If the Monday happens to be a holiday, then that's another day that's knocked off the calendar. That's only 5 days. If the public has a right to examine, then let's go ahead and say, move it to 10 business days. The committee analysis asked, well, perhaps we should look at this throughout the entire code. I'm perfectly happy to do that, but right now I don't know what the ramifications are. I'd be more than happy to work with the committee if we think that it needs to be done across the board. I'd be more than happy to amend this and make it a bigger bill. But this is something that actually occurred in the district. It's not about giving lawyers more opportunity to sue, but the public should have an opportunity to look at it. And if a statement is untrue, to give those individuals the amount of time to be able to challenge it. It's a simple bill. There's no opposition to it. It did originate from a constituent in my district who was running for office. He ended up winning, by the way. But it was an issue that he brought to me, and I would ask for an aye vote on this very simple measure.
Question by Senator Pachigian.
Yes, I have actually two parts of the question. First, as a practical question, given I was curious just to know if this was a remedy for a problem that had not been identified in reality, and I'm just puzzled about, you say it was brought to you by a constituent who ran for office, who presumably submitted a statement. It was displayed for a period of time. Your constituent won, but your constituent, is it just a good government idea on the constituent's part who wondered, gee, why doesn't the public have more time to examine what I've written?
The individual actually sought to find legal counsel to get the statement of the opponent corrected, wasn't able to do so because, again, the statement, lawyers aren't just going to jump up all of a sudden to say, you've got to run to court, it costs money to go.
I'm sorry.
So, and in fact, the individual who brought it to my attention had hoped to come to testify today, but because of just issues in the district that he had to attend to, wasn't able to join us today.
Okay. I'm inclined to support the bill. I'm just curious about that. The other question I had was with respect to posting on the Internet. I'm not opposed to that. The question I have really is, I wonder whether there are implications of that or ramifications of that that might benefit or adversely impact one party or another involved in a dispute over the statement in terms of you are now putting out to the public a statement which may or may not be upheld if it's challenged successfully. And yet you've now displayed an argument that if someone's relying on it, may rely upon it because it's posted and it looks like a public record, when in fact it's just the initial part of a proceeding, essentially. It's just a question. I mean, it's rhetorical. I'm prepared to vote for the bill, but I think it's something that we ought to think about.
Actually, I think there's a fairly simple solution to that, and it's a good point, which is to also put there that people have 10 business days from the date of filing or the date of posting, which was, and, you know, fill it in so that people know that it's subject to challenge.
And I'm willing to work with the committee in whichever direction you would propose.
That's a good idea. No, it's appropriate, I think.
Okay, adopted.
All right.
And we'll work with you to get the actual language.
That's fine. It's pretty clear. I am concerned about the practicable exemption, because we don't have that exemption for any other information that county elections officials are required to post.
And again, too, we can go ahead and make it. The only thing that I raised in the concern, and I'm willing to work with the committee and to change it right now with you, some registrars, some counties do not yet have Internet availability. So I was wondering if this would if this becomes a mandate. I don't want to go down that road.
Well,
so
it says county elections officials that have a website. So, for example, I don't know that some of our very small counties do, but once you do, then this.
So if we say just to have a website, then do
that's
it.
How your bill's. That's how it's drafted, as I understand it. So.
If they have a website, they must.
Right. And that's how all of the other elections code provisions that require posting are drafted. They're all, if you have a website, you have to post certain information. If you don't,
then
clearly you don't.
Then I would say let's just go ahead and keep it consistent and fix the language so that it is consistent.
That would be good. I think consistency in this, at least in this matter, is desirable. Okay, any other questions? Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Bill is before us as proposed to be amended. Would you like to close?
I ask for your support. Simple measure, but it did originate from it was actually Mr. Andre Quintero, who Senator Dunn knows as well. And he's the one who brought the bill idea to me, and I would just ask, it's public information, I ask for an aye vote.
All right. Secretary will please call the roll.
Bowen?
Aye.
Bowen, aye. Batten?
Aye.
Batten, aye. Dunn?
Aye.
Dunn, aye. Murray? Pachigian?
Aye.
Pachigian, aye. Romero?
Aye.
Romero, aye.
Thank you.
Ayes 5, no 0. Measure is approved. We will lift the call on Mr. Mountjoy's bill relating to the notice of intent for judges so that Mr. Dunn, who has now joined us, will be able to cast his vote.
Please. Dunn.
Madam Chair.
Dunn, aye.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just a quick question. Would it be appropriate to add on as a co-author as the amendment is accepted or not for the Mountjoy bill? I see. Got it.
Well, they actually just did today, so.
They did today. That's why I asked.
Oh, no, the Mountjoy.
The Mountjoy bill, we have the amendments in from council.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they do have to amend it again. There's some other amendments that we're also on.
All right. Good. Then ayes 5, no 0. That measure is approved. The business of the committee is completed. Thank you all. We are adjourned.